Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Praise the Lord. Y'all love the Lord? Amen. Did you come with a hunger this morning for the Word of God? Amen. You know, brethren, there's a lot of responsibility sometimes that's on you when you come to the house of God. There's responsibility on the man of God just as well. But you have an equal responsibility this morning. Do you know that the wellsprings of life can't come forth unless there's a drawing for it? You realize that? Sometimes you come out to church out of a ritualistic. You can say, well, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do, and you go to church. But you know, if you don't have a hunger for the things of God, you could hinder the Spirit of God. You realize that? And you have the way that you could even change the course of the service. I remember my pastor so many times, he would say, you know, I come with my heart full of revelation and would just love to share the wonderful deep things and the mysteries of God with you. But then yet he found spirits rejecting, spirits doing all different kind of things. And he ended up having to preach. You know, and you say, well, that's what we go to church for preaching. Well, the preaching of the Word is for salvation. But if you're already saved, then you need the teaching of the Word. Now, I love to preach, believe me. And I think y'all know that. And there's times I have to preach. But, you know, there's times that we need to slow down in our spirit that we could be taught. You know, if I could take you to the Mount of Beatitudes there, and we were there when we was in Israel, sat on the grassy knoll overlooking the Sea of Galilee, beautiful place. But it was a place Jesus took these disciples out there, and just by the simple, the way the land was with the backdrop of the Sea of Galilee, it was like a natural amphitheater, so to speak, and he can get before the people and speak to them. But I don't think he was out there dancing and jumping and shouting. I think he wanted to get them to slow down, sit down. Let me feed you a little bit and get you fed. And he wanted to talk to him about the Word of God, about the things of God. And sometimes we have ideas, you know, well, this is what the anointing of God is. Well, you know, a preacher, when he's preaching to win souls, is anointed of God. He might shout and he might jump up and down. He might speak in tongues. He might, you know, roll in the floor. Amen. I'm a holy roller, but I hate rolling the floor. How's that? No. And God has a way of expressing himself, you know, in people. And then sometimes we have a think, well, this is what happened to me. You know, my experience with the infilling of the Holy Ghost was much different than many people that I know. Should I start a doctrine that this, if this don't happen to you, then you don't have the Holy Ghost? You know, many people say, well, the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues. Well, you know, they got some Bible for that, that's for sure. But they say the initial evidence. But what about, why don't we say the initial evidence was a cloven tongue of fire? Why don't we say that? Why don't we say the initial evidence, it said they saw these men early in the day? It wasn't even yet, I think, I can't remember how the Bible said, but the ninth hour or whatever, it was still early in the day, and here these men appeared to be drunk. So when we say being drunk is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. So see, what we do is we take a little bit of word, and we build doctrines on it, talking about the Pentecostals, talking about the Baptists, talking about the Methodists, or whatever. Church of God, it don't matter where you want to go. And we've got so many different types of people that they all say that, hey, we're all under this umbrella of Christianity. I'm a Christian, you're a Christian, praise God, we love one another. But then yet, the Bible says that we have to be in the same mind. It says we don't pierce each other through. It goes on to teach us that we even got the same judgment. And then the Lord Jesus made a statement like this. He said, if you preach any other doctrine than what I preach, I'd let you be accursed. How many wants to be cursed? I don't want to be cursed. So if this brother doesn't think like I think, is he cursed or am I cursed? Now we have to bring in another allowance, the grace of God, the mercy of God. I think of my progression in the kingdom of God didn't come in, you know, when I got filled with the Spirit of God, or when I made a confession of faith towards him, or you say got born again through a prayer, you know, confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart, and you say, well, there was my beginning. But you know, I think about after I got born again of the progression that God has taken me through many years. When you think and look at things as a natural birth, just talking with you, man, we've got some people tuned in with us this morning that really don't know us. They don't know what our doctrines are. They don't know really how we believe. And you know, there's people, are you a Trinitarian? No. Are you a Oneness? No. Are you an Armenian? No. Are you a Calvinist? No. Now, I believe some of the same ways that a Trinitarian does, and I believe in some of the same ways that a Oneness does. I believe in some of the same ways the Armenians do. I believe in some of the same way Calvinists. But the Calvinists and Armenians are banging head. Boy, I mean, they got a big dispute going in the churches, and they keep it going. The Trinitarian, the Oneness. The Trinitarians say, no, you're a cult. And the Oneness say, no, you're a cult. You know, and they're beating each other with it, and they both got Bible for what they're doing. They both take the King James Bible, and they have scriptures to vindicate, we may use, of where their stance is in the Word. And you say, well, what are you, Brother Rob? I'm a son of God. I'm not in defense of Trinitarian. I'm not in defense of Oneness. I'm not in defense. I'm in defense of one thing, and it's the Word of God. Now, these people have got Word for their stance in many of those things, but sometimes they don't take the fullness of the Word. They don't take all of the Word, and the Bible said, you know, a workman who not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of God. Well, what do you mean, dividing the Word of God? We're not supposed to divide anything. Well, why is that scripture there? You see, and when we start bringing this, we say the dividing of separation. We got to understand that part of this Word is written to a man, and part of this Word is written to the Son of God. Now, if you read some of this Word as a man, and you apply it to your man part, you could be blaspheming God. You know, you got to be very careful where you put things. Now, see, I could say things, and I could take you to the Bible and read it to you. And I could say things, and the majority, I'll say the large majority of Christianity, they would call me a cult for saying the same thing Jesus said. Now, let me go on to help you here a little bit. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute. Is Jesus the firstborn of many brethren according to the Word? Yes. We got to come to some agreement, right? That's the first thing we got to do. He is the firstborn of many brethren. Now, if he was the firstborn of many brethren and we are called the sons of God, we have the same Father. Can we come to that establishment? Okay, now we have a spirit within us that cries, Abba, Father. Now we got to differentiate. Right now we start differentiating already. I have a natural Father and I have a heavenly Father. Now, is there a difference between these two fathers? Well, most definitely. One couldn't give me eternal life and one is eternal life. Isn't that right? Now, my natural father could have shared eternal life with me, but he couldn't give me eternal life lest he be born of God and become part of the family of God. So we differentiate right there. So when we're reading the Bible, there would be one way that I deal with my natural father and there's another way I deal with my spiritual father. So we're dividing the Word of God. Do you see that, how simple that is? And you say, well, how do you deal with one differently than the other? Well, my Bible said that if I don't hate my natural father, I cannot love my spiritual father. And you say, oh, wait a minute. Jesus said, I come to bring a sword. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to put the mother and the daughter-in-law and the father and these at odds with one another. Was that his real plan and purpose? Well, we've got to make a differentiation. I am a part of the family of God. This is my family. Now, the thing is when I let my natural family persuade me or make me move out of the yielding of the Lord, then I become an enemy of God. Because the sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, the Bible says. And there's a time that I have to depart from my natural father and let my heavenly father lead me. Now, when I'm following the leading of my heavenly father, do I have to hate my natural father? No. But he gave that as an example for a reason. If your natural father is going to keep you from serving God, then he become the enemy of God and your enemy. You understand? And this is where we would say that the spiritual father and the spiritual family and the spiritual brethren supersede the natural. Now, you find very few people that can do that. You find very few grandmothers that could make the proper decisions to say, wait a minute, I can't be partakers with this. Very few mothers, when they'll condone a lifestyle that is unpleasing to God, but this is my son. My mother would drive my own brother to a place to buy dope when she saw him shaking and going through withdrawals. She had so much human compassion that she didn't want to see her son suffer. Was she doing him any good? Not at all. She wasn't doing him any good. She should have stayed with the Word of God. But see, I see that people, you know, say, well, we can't close up our bowels of compassion. Well, the bowels of compassion of God are different than your human emotion and your human compassion. You understand that? One person, you know, would be an animal lover and an animal activist, so to speak, and, well, I don't want to kill the rattlesnake. You know, oh, you know, he's one of God's creatures. And I say, get the shovel out. That sucker's dying. Huh? Come on, let's kill this dude. You know, I don't want to leave it laying around here. Come back and get one of my grandkids. You know, so come on, let's think about it. Well, did God create that thing? Well, we're in a world of perversion. This is Satan's world. He's the god of this world. And let me tell you something. When you want to talk about the reformed earth, or if you want to talk about this new kingdom, there ain't going to be no rattlesnakes in it, guys. Come on. You know? So we're differentiating again. I know we speak and teach here. We talk about things that I'm not anybody, not trying to make myself to be somebody here. But we teach on the third heaven. Now, some of you think, oh, that's just normal, ain't it, Brother Rob? I have so many people come to church and visit, or people that call and say, I've never heard anything about the third heaven. I said, well, do you read your Bible? He says, I don't know whether I was in body or in spirit, but I do know that I was caught into the third heaven. And he saw things that were unspeakable. We find another place in the book of Revelation that seal this up. Don't speak it. Well, why would God show us something we're not supposed to speak? Because the people have to come into a mind, the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they could even receive these things. The Bible said God's things have to be spiritually discerned again. So now here we are. We come to the house of God this morning. We want to start learning and to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. And we want to learn about the Word of God. So then we got to say, well, what are you listening in? Do you realize that the Bible said the letter of the law killeth? What is the letter of the law? It's the Word of God. And it killeth. But then it talks about the Spirit bringeth life. So we could be so biblically tuned in, so to speak, to the Bible. And we could say, well, the Bible says this in Genesis. It says this in Isaiah. It says this in Revelation. It says this in the book of Daniel. I say, well, praise God. But do you have the Spirit of the Word? There's a difference. People can hold you and even infatuate you with their Bible knowledge. But what about the Spirit of the Word? The Apostle Paul made a statement. He said, I didn't come with some superior wisdom or some, and I'm paraphrasing here. People get upset, well, you didn't quote that exactly right. I'm paraphrasing. I'm speaking by the Word. I don't have to speak verbatim. And if you don't agree with that, you go and read about Jesus. And when he was quoting some of the prophets and some of the things in the Old Testament, he didn't speak them verbatim either. He said, you know, well, didn't the prophet say, and he would speak what he said, but it wasn't verbatim exactly. I'm not held to speak verbatim. I'm held to speak by the divine Spirit of God, and I could express it maybe in your way. Jesus might have used a camel. He might have used a garden. He might have used hard ground. He might have used the fowl of the air. I might use airplanes to bring you into a revelation because that was my world. Or I might know that you're a carpenter, or I might know that you're a truck driver or something like that, and I could say the kingdom of God is such, and I could bring something into your revelation, into your understanding, to tell you how to fix things. If you have to diagnose a problem, if you're a mechanic and I say, well, look, you know, if I bring a truck to you and it's skipping or missing or not running right, you've got to listen to it and you got to discern or diagnose what the problem is. And then once you diagnose the problem, you could fix it. Well, man's no different. Man say, man, I got problems. You know, man, I have a problem with this. I can't sleep at night. I got a problem with this, or I got a problem with that. You know, and we got to diagnose this, and we got to fix it, just like you got to fix the truck. So there's many things that we can use. Parabolic speech, speaking in parables. Jesus done all the time. The disciples, I said, why are you speaking in these parables to us? And he said, because it's not for all to know. What do you mean? Don't Jesus want everybody to know? He said, some come to spy out your liberties. You know, in the Feast of Charity. There's spots and blemishes. So, you know, the thing is sometimes things are hid from those people. They'll never see it. And then you think, well, that's not fair. That makes God a respecter of person. But he said himself, he said, who are you to find fault with me if I have one vessel to honor or another one to dishonor? You see, we got to be very careful because we bring our human ideology, you know, and I say there's more people with master degrees. Now, if any of you have been educated or know much about education, you know, you might go to college and you get a bachelor's degree. Then you might go on a little farther and get, you know, a doctor's degree. You might go on a little more or a little whatever and you get a master's degree. I probably got them all crossed up, but whatever. You got the idea, huh? And the thing is, I said, if there was going to be master's degree or doctor's degree handed out in this world, I think there's more people that would have a doctor's degree of ideology. They base everything on their idea. Well, this is the way I think Jesus is. I think Jesus loves everybody. How many of you heard that from the sacred desk or heard it from churches around the world? Well, Jesus loves everybody. Well, that's a lie from hell. He doesn't say that in his word. Can you believe that this God that you're entrusting your salvation on said that he hated a child when it was in the mother's womb? He said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. And they were in the womb of the mother. Well, how can this God that I'm trusting to save my soul, how could this God that I'm putting my whole life in his hands, and he said he hates this little innocent baby. See, you think like a man. But what he saw, because God is all-knowing, omniscient, in the foreknowledge of God, he saw this little baby's life before he ever took his first breath. And he knew that he was going to reject him. And he knew that he was going to hate him and do this. And God hates that. Come on now. Well, God, you know, this is a different era now, brother. You know, we're in the New Testament and we're, you know, this and that. He said it was better if Judas would have never been born. That's what the word says. It would have been better that he was never born. And it goes on and says that he will pursue you off of the face of the earth. Well, what are you trying to do? Make this God some mean, bloodthirsty God? Well, no, but I'm telling you what he says in his word, that he's angry with the wicked. And in his word, you know, he teaches us, you know, he said he'll rend you into pieces like a she-bear being robbed of her cubs. Come on now. You ever seen a she-bear get robbed of her little cubs? She ain't nice. But that's what God said, he'll rend you into pieces. You know, so what are you establishing here this morning? I'm saying we got to get an established to understand God. You know, we all had natural fathers. You know, and my testimony is, and every day I came home from school, Daddy was standing with a Snicker bar. Here, son, I love you so much. Here's a Snicker. Oh, here's some money. Go get you a milkshake. Yeah, we had dads that done those things, didn't we? He'd share with us or take us maybe and do those kind of things with. But that's not all he done. Sometimes I was sweating on the way home because I knew he was going to beat my hind in when I got there because he done got the report from the principal's office. Anybody ever been there? Or is it just me? So, you know, I had to learn to have a fear and a reverence of my natural father. And if your natural father don't put a fear in you, he's got him a problem. Come on now. If a kid don't know what it feels like to have your hind end burning, there's a problem with daddy. I like what that brother said the other night. He said, no, it's not the kid that needs a whooping. It's the parents that need the whooping. Come on now. You see your irreverent children, you get mad at the child, but this kid ain't no good, no mama ain't no good. Daddy ain't no good. Well, that ain't very nice. Well, it ain't nice to raise up a little hellion either, a little defiant child. It ain't nice. You need to teach your children and train them out of love for they can make it into the kingdom. A child that disrespects their natural daddy is going to disrespect their heavenly father in the same way. I'm telling you, just runs that kind of a pattern. That's why the Bible said that a child that doesn't honor their mother and father, they can shorten the number of their days. You know, there's things that change when you grow up and you get married. You depart from your mother and father and you go on and cleave unto your companion. So we got Bible for these things. The Word of God covers every aspect of your life. It teaches you how to be an employer. Do you know that? It teaches you how to be an employee. And there is a biblical prospect and way to do these things. And we've got to go to the Word of God and we got to get out what we think. So we're still talking about ideology for a minute. Now people will say, well, I ain't going to that church because this is what I believe. People ask me as a pastor, well, Brother Rob, what do you believe? It don't matter what I believe. It matters what the Bible says. This isn't about what I believe. This is about what the Word of God says. And if it separates me from my daddy and my mother, if it separates me from my brother, if it separates me from whatever, yea and amen, so be it. Jesus said this, he said, they hated me first, they're going to hate you also. Are you in the ideology, so to speak, that Christianity makes everybody love you? Well, man, get in the Word of God. I didn't see that love going to the apostles when they were beating them, stoning them. I didn't see that kind of love going for. He said, they hated me and they have no reason to hate me. And he said, they're going to hate you also. And they don't have a reason. Paul made the statement, he said, you know, there was a time that you would have plucked your eyes out for me. But he goes, now you're basically mad at me and upset with me or you want to kill me because I'm preaching the word to you. So what we've got to do is we got to get in the word. We got to say, okay, wait, what is my idea of the word? How, you know, this is my idea of Jesus. So I say, it's not my idea, it's his word. As when I was teaching a pastor's seminar in Africa, they asked me a question. You know, I basically just said this, I know, but I'm just going to, they asked me a question. Pastor Rob, we want to ask you this. You know, and I've got men preachers, women preachers in this seminar. We opened up the doors for all. They got to be taught. I had oneness preachers, Trinitarian preachers. lost preachers, backslid preachers, you know, heathen preachers. I mean, I had them all in there, right? So one asks a question, and you're thinking, oh, come on, you couldn't have waited until day four on this question, because, man, it's like day one, and I'm going to lose half of them right now. You know? And you have to use wisdom. You have to use wisdom. Well, you know, you may have this ideology. Well, you know, if there's nothing that God's keeping from me, there isn't anything he wants to keep from you, but you've got to come to a place of maturity that he can give you some things. Now, I'm going to ask you as a natural father or a mother in here today, would there be things that a father could sit down and talk with his 16-year-old son about that he would never be talking with his 4-year-old son or 6-year-old son about? We know that's the way it is. The 16-year-old has progressed and been trained and taught, and you got a greater expectation of him. And you wouldn't even be talking to the 6-year-old in what you're talking to the 16-year-old about. Well, where are you at in God? The Bible said some are 30, some are 60, some are 100-fold. Where are you at in God? At what measure have you come to? The Bible says if we have the Holy Ghost, that we have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. And he's going to make us dig. He's going to make us pull. He's going to make us draw. And this is what you and I need to be doing. We need to want more of God. But what we want is just enough of God that we can clear our conscience to make us feel like we're going to make it into the kingdom. You know, and we just want to get a little bit to where we can feel like, well, I'm a son of God. Oh, I'm a Christian. I've had a guy with a cigarette in his mouth and a whore under his arm. Well, that's kind of a strong terminology. Well, you tell me what you call a woman that's with a man that's married to another woman. I think that's a whore according to what my Bible teaches. Y'all agree with that? Come on, you know, we always want to water things down. Well, don't call her a whore. You better go read what Jesus said about it, huh? He used some pretty strong terminologies. Have you read his Bible? He used some strong terminologies. The woman came for the healing of her own daughter. And Jesus looked the woman right in the eye and says, you know, it's not for the dogs. He called the woman a dog. He said, this, you know, this healing or this bread isn't for the dogs. And if the woman would have rose up in her spirit and got offended, her daughter wouldn't have got healed. But even the dogs, the Lord, my Lord and my God, even the dogs desire the crumbs under the table. And the Lord Jesus said, I've never seen such a great faith and healed the daughter. Well, why did he have to talk so crude to her first? Because he wanted to show faith and believing. And sometimes you would never get past that part. Sometimes a minister about ready to bring life to you, but you can't get, well, he offended me. I can't believe he didn't call him a pervert instead of gay. You know, I said, shut up. Get over it. I'm not politically correct. If you're looking for a politically correct preacher, go down here to another church. Drive to Texas, go sit under Joel, okay? You know, you ain't going to get no political correct stuff here. Matter of fact, I'm sick and tired of this politically correct bunch of... Well, we'll stop at that. Y'all love the Lord? Can we go to the Word this morning? Y'all got time this morning? Well, you sure taking enough time already. You ain't even got started yet. And I said, well, praise God. Hang on and put your seatbelt on. Amen. Let's go for it. You send your kids to school for 12 years so they can get an education to go work at McDonald's. Come on now. And now you want to make it into the kingdom? You want the preacher to open his mouth in 10 minutes and say, okay, we've been to church. Well, you're dry. Come on now. How many been in some 1 o'clock in the morning meetings, huh? It started at 7. You say, oh, I don't know about that. Hey, when the Spirit of God moves, you don't want to go nowhere. Amen. Well, I ain't got the Spirit of God yet. Well, we're going to pound him down your throat here in a sec. No, I wished I could. Amen. Y'all love me? Amen. If you can love me, man, you can love anything. Amen. You got a chance. Amen. Philippians, the 2nd chapter. Let's read a little bit here. And I'm just going to use this possibly, see if the Lord will speak to us this morning. It's possibly a foundation of thought here this morning. And let's just begin here at the first verse. It says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. That ye be like-minded. We don't want to discount verse 1 here. There's many things that he's commanding us and trying to bring us to a revelation of. Having the same love. How many have the same love of God? Come on. If you're going to be like-minded, do you have the same love of God that you're willing to lay your life down for your friend? How about lay your life down for an enemy? How about when they were driving the nails in his hand, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Now tell me, do you have that kind of love? Let me tell you your kind of love. You know why I know your kind of love? Because the Bible said all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And I could see Brother Rob and them guys holding me down, nails in my hand. My feet's going to be kicking. You sorry scumbag. And I'm going to be kicking at him. But he said, Father, forgive him. Now I'm differentiating between the mind of Christ and the mind of man. Is that right, Brother Elliot? Think about it. You know, the guy going to nail me to a cross. You think you're going to hang me up there? He's going to be fighting here a little bit. I'm going to say like this, man. I'm going to go out swinging. Come on now. I'm a man just like you're a man. Oh, go ahead and drive one in this hand. You know what happens when they slap you on one side? Oh, that was dumb. That wasn't too bad, guy, but let me show you how it works. Huh? Come on, I'm a man. You say, oh, you're supposed to be a preacher, Brother Rob. You shouldn't think that way. Those are the thoughts I got to cast down every day. You know, you could get real religious, say, oh, you know, I turned the other cheek. I said, you lying sucker, you ain't going to turn no other cheek. You're going to be out there scrapping in the parking lot, somebody slap you. But you know, if you get God get a hold of you and get God in your spirit, you can. But you can't do that as a man. You got to be filled with God's spirit and the love of God. And when somebody slaps you across the face, there's going to be something rise up and you say, oh, man. And that fist is going to be doubled up and you're looking for a place. But with the love of God, if we could come into His mind, you could look a man back in the eye and say, sir, I'm sorry that you feel that way about me, whatever made you want to slap me, but I love you. Come on now. Now, how do we develop this kind of a mind? How do we develop this kind of thing? By denying ourselves. But you see, you're a man, I'm a man, and we're selfish, brethren. Yes. It's all about me. It's all about my world. It's all about my career. It's all about my job. It's all about my finances. It's all about what I desire. And then we'll start modifying the word of God. Well, God said He'll give you the desire of your heart. Well, if my, as a man, I might desire six women. Is He going to give me that desire? Come on, men's hearts are fashioned alike. Man, if he doesn't have a control of passion, he's going to want more than one woman. What do you think? There's so much divorce going on in our country right now. It's because they're not in love with the same love that God had, and they're desiring other things. So, you know, you say, well, you know, God wants me to be happy. Come on now. You know, a man puts a wife away. Well, you know, I'm tired. She don't make me happy, puts her away. Is that what God wants you to do? No. Why is divorce so big in our country? Because the churches ain't preaching against it. God wants you to love that woman like God loved you when you wasn't worth loving. If it's the woman's fault, then it's your fault because you didn't love her right. If it's the man's fault, I say to the sister, it's your fault. The Bible said you can convert them and win them by your chaste conversation. A chaste conversation isn't telling your husband how ignorant he is. You ain't going to win him that way. Well, you're just stupid. Boy, I found a spot there, didn't I, huh? Let's do some meddling now. Ooh, stick it in there a little bit. Hey, why do you preach like this? Because I know these things. I failed them. I've been an ignorant husband. I've been an ignorant father. I've been an ignorant son. So I know what ignorant is. You say, well, what kind? Is this a confession? Sure it is. I confess as a man that I'm a failure. The great apostle Paul, 80% of this New Testament, we could say the Spirit of God used him to put these things down on paper. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Now, if this brother, a great apostle, with some of the most inspiring word that God spoke to humanity, comes to him and he could stand before the people and say, oh, wretched man that I am. How about God himself manifested in the flesh? Son of man walking among men. And he comes in and he said that I learned obedience by the things that I suffered. Talking about the Son of God. Learning obedience through suffering. You see, there was a Son of Man and a Son of God. Remember we started talking about things being twain? What's the difference between the two? What's the difference between your inner man and your outer man? You say born again. What's the difference between the again part and the first one? What's the difference? There's most definitely a difference. One's eternal in the heavens and the other one's temporal in the earth. One has an earthly promise, goes back to the dust, goes back to the flesh. The other one has a heavenly promise. One's telestial, one's celestial. So which one are you? You say, well, I'm both. Well, what do you do with the one that's natural? You kill him. How many read their Bible? It says to mortify this man. What does it mean to mortify something? Kill it. So if I'm supposed to wake up every morning and I'm supposed to have this mind, we're going to go on down here. I know we just got to the first verse. We'll make it down to the end of the chapter in a minute. Y'all got time? What are you going to do with the rest of the day? Oh, I'm going to go eat. I said, well, go shove that belly full. And, you know, I got the problem too. I'm a man. But let's eat some word this morning. Let's get in the word of God some today. And let's start thinking, you know what? I need to eat something that brings eternal life. What you eat naturally is going to just give you temporal life for a little bit. And that thing ain't going to be satisfied long, because what you're gnawing on today at noon, you're going to be wanting to gnaw on some more of it at six, huh? But this here, he said, drink of this and you'll never thirst. Come on now, we got to start getting in the scriptures and the word of God. Let this word be real. Let this word be true. So do you want to try to make it into the kingdom by your idea of what it is to make it? Or do you want to make it in by the word? That's the only way you'll make it in. Jesus said, I'm the door, the way, the truth. I'm the life. There is no other way but by me. Can you make it in through Baptist theology? Can you make it in through Methodist theology? Can you make it in through Church of God theology? Can you make it in through Assembly of God? Could you make it in through the Catholic Church? No, those are not the way. Now, some of those might tell you about the way, but you put your confidence in them, and then you got to start putting your confidence in the fact, well, you know, they've got a seminary school, and we sent Elder such and such over there, and he came out as a reprobate. Come on now, has anybody ever seen that happen? I have. I've known young men that had callings on their life that love the Lord, but some of the elders said, man, you need to go to seminary school. You know, you need to go to the cemetery school is what they should have said. And these men love God and they come out as reprobates. They learn to do things their way in another mind. Well, this is what we do. I don't care what they do. Let's stay with the Word of God. I was sharing with Alan this morning, but I said, you know, there's a lot of times I've done teachings, you know, and maybe try to make a little note or two. Sometimes I might come up here with one or two scriptures in mind. But there's many times I step behind here and have no idea which way the Lord is going to go, because you're His people. And I say, here I am, Lord. These are your people. Use me. And many times if I tried to do the preparations, he would change it. I said, come on, Lord, please, just let me do this one. Yeah. But you know, you're his people. I'm his servant. Amen. I'm here for you. Amen. You're not here for me. I'm here for you. But then yet, if you say that, you need to say, I'm here for you. This is God's way. You seek after the other's salvation. You seek after the other one's prosperity. You seek after the other one's well-being. And when you do that, he adds it back to you. And let's go back here, and I'm going to start over again. And we're going to get maybe past verse 3 this time. If there be therefore, back in verse 1, any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now, we know what happened when they become in one accord in the book of Acts, right? We're going to get to verse 3. Y'all just quit it. What happened when they come, when these disciples of the Lord and the apostles came together in one mind and one accord? Does anybody remember what happened? The Holy Ghost came. And the Holy Ghost was poured out on them. Jesus told them, he said, you go there until you're endued with power. They went, they barred themselves rooms, scared to death. They just took my Lord and Savior and they took him and killed him. Hung him on a cross and are pursuing, looking for us. Had the doors locked. But the Holy Ghost come. And they were all filled with his Spirit. This is why the Bible said, without his Spirit, you're none of his. Some of the Pentecostals teach it, you could be born again without his Spirit. That's impossible. The Bible said, without his Spirit, you're none of his. Born again takes his Spirit. That's his Spirit is the birth of life. Without him, you're none. See, there we separated from many Pentecostals. Boy, now they're mad at me. Well, you know, I believe that you can confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and get salvation, but you don't have the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is salvation. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God in the earth today. The Holy Ghost is the life within you. Well, I can have Jesus without the Holy Ghost. Absolutely impossible. I could turn you over to 1 John 5. And it says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, it said these three are one. They're one. So how can I say I have one without the other? Jesus, when Philip came to Jesus, he said, hey, when will we see the Father? What did Jesus say? Oh, someday there's going to be a big green mist come out of the sky. And, you're going to see him. That's not what he said. What did Jesus say? When they asked him, Philip says, when are we going to see the Father? And Jesus looked at him and said, how can you say you have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. How did he speak to Nicodemus when Nicodemus said, what must I do to be born again? Jesus, you know, I mean, it would be a little bit like, you know, you claim to be this great leader of Israel and you're asking me such a stupid question. Go read it for yourself. You say, you can't add to the word like that. Well, I'm just telling you to the Lord, it was kind of an ignorant question. What, must I enter back into my mother's womb? Now, does that sound stupid to you when we start talking about born again? If you've come to some revelation or understand, what do you mean go back in your mother's womb? You know that can't happen. All right, here we go. We're still at verse 2. Praise God, we're getting there. One mind and one accord. Praise God. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in the lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now, if you're a Facebook nut, you just right there destroyed 90% of Facebook. It's gone. Right there. 90% of Facebook is gone. Right there. If you go and get on Facebook and you start reading, even on these Christian sites, that right there removed 90% of them. Right there, I'm telling you. You say, I don't know about that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. How much strife do people see on there? People are on there all the time. You're ignorant. Man, you're a cult. You ain't nothing but the devil. I love you, praise God. And you just keep on going by way bad. Hey, I love you too. I'm not going to get into vain controversies. The Bible commands me not to. If you got away from vain controversies and things of each esteem others better than themselves, how many times do you see somebody esteeming that other brother on the other end of that chat room better than him? Oh, you need to follow me. I'm smarter than you're ignorant. I got more Bible than you got. I got more. I've been doing this longer than you. That's all flesh. Jesus laid his life down. We're supposed to be coming into the same mind. Jesus, when he was here, he said, you know, I come to serve. I come to minister, you know, to you, to your needs. I didn't come for you to wash my feet. I came to wash your feet. That's what he did. Why, if we're supposed to be Christ-like, why don't we do that? Why do preachers walk around today like, well, I'm the preacher, you take care of me. This is what you're supposed to do. Preachers need to be taking care of people. And when he's taking care of people, he's reaping from the kingdom of God, and God's taking care of him. He ain't seeking after provision. He's given provisions, and God's supplying the provisions to give. Amen? Come on, that's God's way. Look not every man on his own things. Well, we would just get a lot more time. Just think if you removed your own things out of your little life, how much more time you'd have. Come on now. I'm challenging thinking here, brother. That's what I'm called to do. You know, because usually man's selfish. It's all about him. Man has marital problems because it's all about me. Bless God, I'm the head of the house. Shut up, woman! Shut your mouth! I'm the head of the house! And I say, boy, you just sowed something you didn't want to because God's looking at you as the bride and he's going to be looking at you and say, you shut up, boy! Amen. Come on now. You don't believe that? It's the word. I'm going to give you some more example of that, the way the word works. Okay, are y'all listening? Come on now. The Bible says that if I can't forgive, I can't receive forgiveness. Now let me ask you this. If I can't forgive Brother Allen if he offended me, then God's telling me, because I can't forgive him, he said, son, I'm sorry, but I can't forgive you. So now, do I have control of God there? Do I have control of the heavens there? I could stop God's forgiveness by not having forgiveness. The Bible said, you that show mercy, receive mercy. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. So there's always something that we've got to apply, but we sit back and say, oh, I'm just dumb. And God, you're just going to bless me because you're just a good God. Come on now. He's teaching us the word of God to apply in our lives. We have to apply scriptures and word to our life, and we got to be led by the Spirit of God, and we got to walk therein. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, I gave you a little grace there. He said, also look on things. Now, let's differentiate just for a second here. If a man can't provide for his home, the Bible said he's worse than an infidel. What does that mean? He's worse than an unbeliever. Well, an unbeliever's going to hell if you need any information. Come on. But he said, you're worse than an unbeliever. So there's something, if a man is not providing for his family, there's a problem there. Biblically, spiritually, naturally. Okay? So we have to take the word line upon line, precept upon precept. So if a man is taking care of his family, is he looking to his own? He's looking towards the kingdom because he doesn't want to reproach the kingdom of God. If I can't provide for my family, I'm a reproach to the kingdom of God. Do you realize that? If I'm stealing from my boss, I'm reproaching the kingdom of God if I call myself a Christian. If I'm lying to my boss, I'm reproaching the kingdom of God. If I'm lying to my wife, if I'm lying to my children, if I'm lying, I'm reproaching the kingdom of God. We need to learn to think. You might be the only Jesus that they see because you're bone of his bone, flesh of flesh in this earth. And if people see the love of God, the light of God in you, then they'll follow the Spirit of God in you. And you can lead them into the kingdom. But if they see the things of the flesh in you, you know, desiring your own world, your own life, your own things, and it's all about you, who wants to follow that? But Jesus led by love. Let's go on here. I want to get down a little bit farther. Verse 5. Now, before I read verse 5, let me say something. If I told you this was the most important scripture in all the Bible, you'd probably contest that. And I could understand that you could think there's better scriptures, you know. Well, I think in John 3, you know, or talks about you must be born again. That's the most important thing. I said, well, I can't contest that either. But this scripture right here is one scripture that could change your life, your theology, your marriage, your business, your health. This one scripture right here, let's read it. It says, let this mind be in you. So evidently, must not be happy with your mind. Come on now. God must not be real happy with your mind if he's saying, hey, dude, look, let this mind be in you. Can you have more than one mind in me? That mind ain't that big mushy marshmallow between your ears. Okay? But there's something the mind has to do with also a spirit. Okay? In many ways. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's go on to verse 6 and tie that in with it. You know, we could just stop right there. But what is this mind? I'm going to read 5 again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, Brother Randy, am I teaching that you've got to come into a mind that you could be equal with God? And you say, I'm just reading the Bible to you. Now, come on now. Hang with me. Bible said a wise man hears the end of the matter. I come to a church on Sunday and this preacher's up there saying that we got to come into a mind to be equal with God. Can we do such a thing? Jesus said that we will do greater things than what he did. So now Jesus is saying that Brother Allen right here could do greater things than Jesus done. Has Brother Allen come to that revelation that he can? Has Brother Rob come to a revelation that I could do greater things than what Jesus done? I started out a meeting over in Arkansas one time preaching, had a bunch of preachers in the house. And I opened up with that particular scripture about we doing greater things. And they're looking at me like, oh man, what are you going to do with that preacher? And I said, you're standing looking at a man right now saying greater things than the Lord Jesus. Boy, you talk about people wanting to run out the door. I was one too. I'm saying, man, what's wrong with you, preacher? Man, what kind of mind was that talking? You know, I'm out of here. But is it the Word of God? That's what we got to come to understand. Is it the Bible? Is it the Word? Sure it is. It's the Word. Jesus raised the dead, brother. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. But then yet, how can I do anything greater than that? That man that he made to walk could go to hell. Do you realize that? How about Peter, after Jesus had already been crucified and resurrected, Peter at the gate, beautiful, he said, you know, silver and gold, I don't have. You know, I don't have no silver and gold. But such as I have, I give unto thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And the man had never had no strength, and it said in his ankle bones. He never had no strength. And he said, all sudden his power moved into them legs and into them ankle bones, and the man got up and stood on his feet. Amen. Never walked in his whole life. And the man started dancing and praising God. Amen. But let me tell you, you say, that's an awesome miracle, brother. Have you ever done anything like that? And I said, greater things. Oh, come on. But man, he took another man and raised him from the dead. You ever done anything like that? I said, greater things. Come on now. I'm just telling you the Bible. Well, how can you do something great? Well, let me tell you something. A man could be laying in a casket right there, and I could put my hand on him and say the same thing Peter said. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, that could have been the worst thing I ever done to that poor fellow that was asleep there in that casket. Because if he's the Son of God, it ain't death. The Bible said we pass from death unto life. Sons of God don't die. They put him in a box that's considered asleep. You say, it's just fancy word. They're dead. There ain't no breath in their life. Well, you're going to find out. Just like you could say, well, you know, you call about this born again. Well, you'll find out, because the Bible said when Jesus appears, we'll appear just like him. Amen. And the people are going to see that you were always a son of God. When did you become a son of God? My Bible said before the foundation of this world. I was a son of God leaping for joy. So what you going to do with that? You see, you got to get in the Word. You say, well, you're teaching some weird stuff. I'm just teaching the Bible. I challenge you, and you on the way of the internet, I challenge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you could prove me wrong in the Bible, I'll get back on here and apologize. But I'm preaching God's Word. And everything I'm saying to you this morning, I say get in the Word and prove it right or prove it wrong. I preached again over there in Arkansas, and a man said I made him so mad he went. He said he'd never done so much Bible study in his life. And the only reason he got in his Bible was to prove me wrong. And he said everywhere I went, I kept proving him right. It's not about me. It's not about me being right. It's not about me being wrong. I'm a man just like you. It's about the Word. You need to be careful what you've been taught. You need to be careful what you think is Bible. A lot of times you hear preachers saying things, you think, well, this is Bible. No, there ain't no Bible to it. There ain't no Bible to a three-person God. There's a Bible to Jesus as the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Bible teaches that Jesus was there before the beginning. The Bible teaches that all things were created by Jesus. You understand that? Oh, it's by the Father. The Father's invisible. The Father's spirit. No man has ever seen. So how are you going to make that a person? The Bible said this God being omnipresent. I'm a person. You know where I'm at right now? Being a person, I'm right here in Sophia, North Carolina. That's where I'm at. No, I'm not. Now, I could go in my mind and I could be in California with Alan sitting in a spreader truck bouncing across the field. And we could be there in our mind. But I'm talking about we're here right now. But in the spirit, we could be somewhere else. But God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. That's not a person. He's spirit. The Father's spirit. No man has ever seen. But then yet, when he spoke to Jesus and he said, when will we see the Father? How can you say I've not seen the Father because I'm with you so long? So what was Jesus? Could I say that he was the Father or he's a liar? Well, you must be a oneness then, Brother Rob. No, I'm a son of God. I told you from the beginning, I'm not a oneness. I'm not a Trinitarian. I'm a word man. I believe the word of God. Well, they all say the same thing. They do. Not necessarily. I had a man over here not too long back. He said, I'm a Baptist. I was born a Baptist and I'll die a Baptist. My dispute wasn't with a Baptist. My dispute with him was the ignorance coming out of his mouth. I don't care if you're a Baptist or a Pentecostal. I don't care if you're a Calvinist or whatever, but you come and tell me that you're a sinner and you sin every day. I'm not disputing with your Baptist theology now. I'm not disputing with your Methodist mindset. I'm disputing with you because you just violated the word. I'm not a sinner. You know where sinners go? They go to hell. God's angry with sin. You know what sin is? Sin is the sting of death. So if I declare to you that I'm born again, that I passed from death unto life, and the last enemy of God to be abolished was death, and I tell you that I'm a sinner, that means I'm going to hell. I'm not no longer a sinner, brother. The sinner that was born in 1958 named Rob Coons, all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, was born over there. But he come to an understanding, come to a revelation about Jesus Christ, amen. And he made me a new creature. I'm born again, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Old things have passed away. What passed away? That old nature, that old Rob Coons, that old mind of Rob Coons, that old aviator mind. It had to pass away, and when it wakes up tomorrow morning, I got to mortify it. I got to kill it. I got to put it back down, and I got to let this mind be in me, the mind that was also in Christ Jesus, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God, and I got to come into this mind and just kind of thank him if I'm going to make it into his kingdom. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Now, verse 5 again, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, to even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Y'all know what that name is. That at the name of Jesus, verse 10, that At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, there's a lot of word here, a lot of scriptures here. And let me read this scripture to you real quick. We're not done here with Philippians, but 1 John 4, if you'll put it up there for just a minute, first verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye not the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And that is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. There's some theologies, some people teach that the Antichrist is going to come on the scene in this world, and he's going to come in and take over, and we're going to form these European or union, you know, I can't remember the word, that's probably the wrong terminology, but they're going to form this union of all these different governments come together in this one world order, and the Antichrist is going to rule this. They're not wrong. But what we've got to do is, if we're just waiting for this Antichrist, you know, to come on the scene. Now, let me use the opposite side. Everything in God has a mirrored side. You know, God being the object of worship, there's a mirrored side to it. The natural, physical, and spiritual world. Body, soul, spirit. Father, word, Holy Ghost. First, second, third heaven. These are all three dimensions that we got to learn to understand. The Bible says in 1 John 5, it said that there's Father, Word, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. And it says the water, blood, and the spirit, they said these three agree in one. We need to understand that, saints. Well, all I need to know is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, then let's rip out 99% of the Bible and just stick with that one scripture. Jesus came and died for you, shed his blood, resurrected for you. Praise God, let's just stop there. Why did he put all these other things there? You see, we're supposed to be good soldiers for Christ. We're supposed to keep ourselves unspotted from the affairs of the world. Somebody needs to teach how to do this. Somebody better start teaching that our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but we're fighting against spiritual principalities and powers. Somebody better start realizing that there's invisible dominions and powers and spirits. And right here we're talking about the Antichrist, and we're not talking about one that's coming. We're talking about, they said, there's many Antichrists among you. What if I told you that Obama's the Antichrist? How many of you go, oh, man, yeah. Well, is he Christ? Now, when he was running and campaigning, they kind of made him into the Christ, didn't they? Do y'all remember that? Boy, this is the one. Here he is. That's the man-child caught up to the throne. You say, oh, he's the wrong color. Oh, he's the perfect color to be Antichrist, if you ask me. Dark skinned, come on now. He's a half-breed. You think he's Antichrist? There's absolutely no doubt in my mind. He's got the Antichrist spirit. I didn't say he is the Antichrist. You see, I could look at Brother Paul here, and I say, that is the Lord. Now, if Brother Paul goes over and knocks on your door and says, hey, how you doing today? I've just felt inspired of God to come over and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with you. Are you born again, sir? Nope. I ain't interested. Hey, sir, you know, listen, you know, this whole world's in a bad place right now, and you need to consider your salvation. You need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your God. Otherwise, you'll perish. Guy said, I'm not interested. Slam the door. Will that man stand before the Lord Jesus one day? Let's say it's next year. Let's say it's the next day. Let's say it's 15 years from now, and he stands there, and the Lord Jesus says, I came by your house one day. Oh, Lord, when did you do that? I came by your house and knocked on your door one day, and I wanted to share my love with you, and you slammed the door in my face. Oh, but wait a minute, Lord, when did you do that? And he said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, is what you've done unto me. The Bible said it's no longer the man speaking, but Christ speaking through him. You see, it's no difference When you go and knock on that man's door to bring salvation to him, it's no different than the Lord Jesus Christ himself standing there. People don't realize that. But they can be cut off from God. The Bible said blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. Come on now. Do you understand what that means? Now, if we're going to go here to the scripture and said that there's many antichrists among us, could I go to another other side of the spectrum and say there's many Christs among us? Would that be wrong? You say, oh, I don't know about that. Well, the Bible, we just got done reading scriptures and things. We're bone of his bone. We're flesh of his flesh. We're all part of a many-member body. We got the same mind. His last commission to us, go into all the world preaching the gospel, baptizing them in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. He told them, he gave the disciples and the apostles, he gave them the power to remit sin. Oh, you can't do that. Well, then what did he tell us we can do that for? Let me tell you, when I get a man in the church and he's confessing with his mouth and I lay hands on him and impart the Holy Ghost in him, we've remitted that man's sin by the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. And when he gives us the power to heal sick with anointing oil, oh, is it the oil that heals? No, it's the faith that we have in his word. It's the faith in the word that heals. It's the faith in the word that forgives. Because without faith, you can't please God, nor can you see God. So it's not faith in the oil. It's faith in the word. And the word says, call them forward in the church and anoint them with oil. Now, I'm going all the way back where I started at now to help you with some thoughts. We laid some foundation now to get some thoughts out. So I said, I go into the prisons and visit people that are incarcerated. Man, they got big wire fences around, double fence rolls, big wires on top of them. They make it over this razor blade, the next one's electric. So when you find him on his way out, he's a sliced up fried French fry. No. But you say, them guys are incarcerated. I say, no, you are. Some of them have been set free. So you look at them as being bound and in chains, and I look at you maybe being the one in chains and bounds. God has his way. So you see, a man walks in the door of the church, and he's got a white stick, and he's doing this, going in a little red tip on it, bumps into something, he backs up. He says, oh, he's blind. And I say, oh, no, he's not blind. That man could see. Amen? Now, when Jesus was looking at people that didn't have a white stick and they're all looking, he said, you're blind. And you got blind leaders of you blind people. And he said, and furthermore, you got ears and you don't even hear. That's what Jesus said, right? This is simple, I know. But come on, let's stay with me, man. We're differentiating a spiritual world, a carnal world, a natural world. And we're differentiating these things. We got to differentiate your birth. We got to differentiate your mind. What mind are you thinking with? I'm thinking like a Baptist. I'm thinking like a Pentecostal. I want to think like Christ. I want the mind of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in Brother Rob, that thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, can I be equal with God? Well, let me tell you what he said. He said, you're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He said he made you joint heirs. Now, let me ask you, Paul made a statement. He said, when the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. He didn't say spirit, he said one in the flesh. Well, how'd that happen? You need to understand that. But let me tell you something. When a man marries a woman, if you don't believe that they become equal, let him try to divorce. The judge will let you know, yeah, she's equal, dude. She's got most of your stuff. Is that right? Well, can I divorce Jesus? Don't happen. You know, if you leave him, what the Bible says? It said it was to be made manifest that you was never of him. Now, I'll give you some more word for that. Now, I could get scripture references. Brother Chuck could stick them all up there if you guys want to take time, but some of you don't want to take that much time. I'd just love to keep teaching for 6, 7, 8 hours here today and just go right on and stay in the word. I wouldn't have a problem with it. I wouldn't get tired. My back wouldn't hurt or nothing. Now, when I get done, I might go, oh, gosh. Yeah, but when the anointing of the Lord is there, you don't think about those things. You don't think about hungry. You don't think about tired. I sat with my pastor, Brother Pike, for 8 hours at a time. Never even got pressed with necessity to go to the bathroom. And just sat there, and the man got into the revelation and caught you away into the kingdom of God, caught you away into heavenly places. That's what my Bible said. We're supposed to be dwelling in heavenly places, not earthly places. Now, let me finish up here for a minute, and I won't keep you another hour or two, but I'm just talking with you, brethren. We're brothers. We're family of God. And my heart is to get you to think differently. My heart is to get you to be in the mind of Christ. This is what he's asking you to do. When you come into that mind, it's the mind that makes the impossible things possible. It's the mind that restores and fixes and mends and heals. It's the mind, brethren, that we got to think like. What was it, last Sunday I preached the message about Jesus Christ being the high priest of your profession? I think it was a week ago. And the thing is we need to have this kind of a profession. You know, I could do all things through Christ. All things. Now, in your mind, you're limited. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Thou art not robber, be equal to God. Okay? But now there's another mind called the carnal mind. What does a carnal mean, natural? Your mind is that you were born with. It said that the carnal mind is death. Okay, this mind, what is it? It's life. Now, which mind do you want in you to think every day? Now, what happens in religion, we teach your carnal mind to think certain ways. But according to the word, we need to mortify and kill him out. How do we do those things? Sometimes your mind says, you know, honey, I'm kind of like to go for a drive today. You know, honey, I'm kind of tired. Let's take a nap. Honey, I would sure like some of them barbecue ribs. Let's go over and get some ribs. Well, I got y'all attention now, don't I? You know, hey, honey, I really would really like to eat some sushi today. You know, see, that's the carnal mind. And when you just yield to it and yield to it, and I want this, and I want this car, and I want this chair, and I want this radio, and I want this, and I want that, and I want this, you're just carnal-minded. The Bible said the carnal mind is death. And it's all about you. You're not seeking the other's good. You're seeking your good. It's not all about you. Go back and read it again. After we get done talking about this, go back and read Philippians again. That is not the mind to be in. You're seeking after your own. You're selfish and you're on your way to hell. Well, come on, Brother Rob. You want us to just be giving all of our money away and helping other people? Try it. You'll never go wrong. If you're feeding other people, you're going to be fed. If you're giving finances to other people, you're going to have finances. If you're sharing love with other people, you're going to be full of love. But when it's all about you, I love you because you gave me a car. I love you because you gave this to me. And I love you because you've done this. Man, you don't even know what love is. Your love is selfish. That ain't God's love. Are you willing to lay your life down for your brother? Are you willing to lay your life down? You see, I'm thinking, you know, sir, how much God can you have if you ain't willing to lay your life down for your wife? Sir, how much love can you have if you ain't willing to lay your wife down for your children? You know, woman, sister, how much love do you have when you ain't willing to suffer the wrong and swear to your own hurt for your children's sake, for your grandchildren's sake, for salvation's sake? When I see parents that are killing their children and destroying them, have you ever seen a mother murder their own child? And you say, oh God, that sounds terrible, Brother Rob. I have. But it isn't the way you think. Now, let's use some Jesus terminology here, okay, from the Word of God. And now if I said to you, I said, brother, sister, what is the definition of adultery? Now, most of us would come up with the same thing. Well, you know, there was a woman caught in the very act, Brother Rob, in the Gospels. And they dragged her out before Jesus. And they were all taking up stones to stone this woman. And they were taking stones, and Jesus wrote in the dirt and said, you without sin, cast the first stone. Hey, I'm without sin. Give me the stone. Are you without sin, Brother Rob? Sure I am. Sin's a sting of death. If I got sin, I'm going to hell. But I'm without sin. Why? Because Jesus made me that way. Go read in 1 John 3rd chapter. He says, ye that are born of God cannot sin. That's what he says in his Bible. I believe his Bible. Ye that are born of God cannot sin because his seed remaineth in you and keepeth you from sin. And if you sin, you're of your father the devil, it says. So if you want to go around and tell people you're a sinner, I say, all right, go ahead and be a sinner. You're on your way to hell. You know what I want to tell people? I'm a born again son of God, man. I've been set free from death, amen. The last enemy of God was abolished, amen, and it was death. It's gone. Can you believe that, saints? I'm gonna find a place to close here directly. That's sometimes hard to do. I mean, you know, the thing is we've talked about a lot of things here, and now I've got to make sure that the Lord, and it's not you maybe wanting to go to the barbecue house or somewhere that I'm gonna close, you know, to keep you happy. I want to make sure that I have allowed him to possibly square up maybe some of the things that we've opened up, and that would take many hours, so I know I can't do them all. We got people listening by the way of the internet again. And you know, I got to make sure they get everything kind of squared up because I've opened up a lot of thought here today. And it would literally take hours. I say, you have to probably tune back in. Come back. And you say, you think I'd tune back in and list some of this stuff? And I said, well, praise God. Be careful. Amen. I get people upset with me. Jesus said they hated him first. There's a lot of people who hate Brother Rob. And I love them and do anything for them. I've helped them. I've put them in my home. Paid expenses for them. Helped them with fines and things and where they've been in trouble with the law. And don't ask them for any finances. Feed them. Take care of them. And I become their enemy. That's not happened once. Not happened twice. It's happened so many times. You know, well, you have regrets? None at all. They hated Jesus first. They'll hate me also. Jesus only done good. He came amongst them, and when they were taking up stones to stone Jesus, he looked at him and he said, for what good works have I done that you want to pick up these stones and stone me? And they said, no, it's not for the good works that you've done. It's because you're a mere man making yourself to be God. What did he say to that? Do you remember? He looked that man right back in the eye and he said, but isn't it also written that ye are gods? Go to a church and the pastor starts teaching you that ye are gods. Jesus is the one who taught that now. The Bible said that ye are gods, but you die like men. Why? From a lack of knowledge. So are you teaching the people here, Brother Rob, that ye are gods? Well, let me ask you a question. Jesus did this. This way he answered questions. He would sometimes make a question and answer a question this way. And you say, well, Brother Rob, are you teaching now? I say that you need to be careful because if you can't explain these things, you don't even need to open these kind of things up to people because you'll cause problems and cause little babies or cause problems for people to get hurt. But I could start out by saying, and I do this sometimes, I'll say, I'm going to stand right here. Can I talk to you as a man? And you say, well, sure, I can understand a man. And I say, oh, wretched man that I am. Now, I could take you over into Romans and read where the Apostle Paul was speaking like this. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? You know, the things that I want to do, brethren, the things I want to do, friend, I find myself struggling and not doing those things. And the very things that I don't want to do, those are the things I find myself doing. You know, man, this is a man talking in the weakness of flesh. Now, if I come to church and just talk to you like a man, you're going to leave here in doom and gloom. Oh, God, we're all going to perish. And my very best righteousness is filthy rags. That's a woman's sanitary napkin if you want to get into the translation. I know I get a little bit gross. Come on, that's what a filthy rag. That's what the Lord said about you, my friend. You, brother, you, sister, in your flesh. You're like filthy rags. It's pretty nasty, huh? So what do you got to do? You got to get born again. Okay, let's talk about the new creature. Is he a man? Come on now. It's appointed unto man once to die and the judgment. Now, why would God kill one man and born another man? It's no, we're a new creature. What is that new creature? Well, let's go to the Word of God. Now, the Bible said, beloved, now, I could turn you over to the Scriptures, put it there. It said, beloved, now ye are the sons of God. Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Let's just make this real simple. I'm a simple person, you know, and I'll go to the Greek and I'll go to the Hebrew and I'll study things out and get the meanings of words. I've done much of that. Okay, but let's believe the Word of God also with all that, okay? Now, the thing is, if we go to the Scriptures and we go to the Word and we start differentiating it, start reading it, start understanding it, trying to perceive it, so Jesus said he made himself twain. How many people know what twain means? Two. Both Lord and Christ. Okay, he went on from that. He said both Son of Man and Son of God. Okay, there was a Son of Man and there was a Son of God. He made himself twain. How many of you believe that God died on the cross of Calvary? That's impossible. God is the Spirit of life. He can't die. Do you think God could lie? The Bible said it's impossible for God to lie. You know why he can't lie? Because he's the Spirit of truth. He cannot lie. Now, when I stand before you and say, I cannot sin, why? Because I become one with the Spirit of life. Amen. And sin is death. The carnal mind is enmity with God. The carnal mind is death. So now, we've got to differentiate, brethren. I could stand before you and say, oh, wretched man that I am, and talk to you as a man. But let me stand over on this side for a second, and let me talk to you as the new creature born again. Okay? Let's just talk about some of the things that's the difference between the guy that was created in a temporal body, the guy that was created by the dust of this earth, the guy that was appointed to go back to dust and the judgment of God. Now let's talk about this new creature. What is he? So if this brother or you or Brother Alan here or Brother Randy here or Brother Rob or Andy or any of these brethren in here, Brother Bo, if you have a son, you know, and I say, what is your son there, Brother Bo? And I think, well, he says, I'm a man. Well, was his son a camel? Did he have a kitty cat? I'm not being ignorant here. I'm just going to get you to think for a second. Brother Bowen and his wife, you know, Sister Keisha said, hey, we've had a son. We had a son. We had a son born, you know. Come look. Hey, look at the little cute little guy. Look, he got a little dimple. Well, is he a giraffe? Is he a monkey? Well, he kind of looks like a monkey. No. No, he's a man. He's a son of man. But then yet, we're saying that we got a father. In the Bible, it says we have a spirit crying, Abba, Father. Now, we talked about a heavenly father, and we've talked about an earthly father. Now, I have a heavenly father. The Bible says this, the same spirit that dwelled within Christ Jesus shall dwell where? In your mortal body. Okay, this is a mortal body, right? But now I've got this eternal spirit dwelling in me. And it said, the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus shall dwell in your mortal body, and it'll raise you up from the dead, change you in the twinkling of an eye. It'll transfigure that flesh from telestial to celestial, from mortal to immortality. Now, I could take you over into 1 Corinthians and show all that to you. The Bible said there's beast flesh, there's fish flesh, and there's goes on to talk about celestial. Well, there's a difference between celestial flesh and telestial flesh. Okay, I'm in the Bible, brethren. I haven't left the word nowhere here. So you say, I'm a man. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? And then I come over here and say, I'm a son of God. Born again. Hallelujah. Created. A new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I cannot die. The reason I can't die is because I cannot sin. If you sin, you die. That's why it's appointed a man, because he's sinner to die. But now we're new creatures in Christ. Come on now. When does eternal life begin? What if I said to you, I am eternal life? You say, oh, you can't say that. But when Jesus was walking with them, when he went up to Lazarus' tomb, he called Lazarus forth from the dead. They said he stinks by now. He's been there 4 days. Jesus said, no, he's just asleep. They argued with him. Was Jesus a liar? No. He wasn't a liar. He's our Lord, our God. But he called him forth. He called him forth out there, didn't he? So, what are we saying? We have to differentiate, brethren. But when Jesus was there and he said that, they said, well, when you call him forth, where are you talking about you're going to call him forth in the resurrection? What did Jesus say? He said, no, I am the resurrection. That's what Jesus said. I am the resurrection. Well, he hadn't died yet and hadn't resurrected yet. How could he say that? So I could say, I am eternal life. Well, how can you say that? Because I'm bone and bone and flesh, flesh, Lord Jesus. Part of that many-membered body. I'm one with Christ. That's what the Bible says. Now, what Jesus went on to say when Philip asked him there, you can go read it for yourself in John about 10, I think. It's right in there somewhere. John 10, 11, 12. Just read them all. It's all good. It's all edible. And he said, when will we see the Father? And he said, how can you say I have not seen the Father when I've been with you so long? I and the Father are one. The Father's within me and I'm within the Father. And he goes on now. And he said, I'm in you. And you're in me. Separate that. See, you can't separate Jesus and the Father no more than you could separate me and Jesus. Amen. Why? Because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, nothing could be laid to your charge. I'm a son of God. He loves me. He hid me away. He says, where I am, you'll be there also. Where's he at? In heavenly places. Where are you at, Brother Rob? The Bible says we're dwelling in heavenly places. Let's get out of our carnal mind. Let's get out of our religious ideology. And let's get into the mind of the Word and start knowing who we are. And we are creators in Christ. Amen. And we can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthened us. We have the power and the authority to speak life over death. We have the authority to bring blessings and stop the curses. Amen. Why? Because we're the children of God. Let's give Jesus a hand. You need to start believing who you are. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all love the Lord? How many is thankful they come to the house of God? Amen. Let's give him another hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Brethren, we just really got a good foundation going and we could really get in some word now. And we can have us a good time. Amen. And the thing is that, you know, Brother Alan and I were, when we were young men, amen, back before he had that gray stuff on top of his head there. And And he was out at the airport, and I was working at the airport, and pilot and aircraft mechanic and stuff. And it's like, man, today's Saturday. I got a day off, and I go out for a flight lesson. And he was a student pilot being trained out there, but they take you out about an hour. And they say, oh, that's enough for the day. Let's go ahead and stop now. You get physically wore out. You're not thinking about when you're flying an airplane, but when you get out of the airplane, you got on the ground, you tie it down to the ground, you kind of go, whoa. You know, and you say, what are you, physically wore out, brother? No, I'm ready to roll, son. I mean, I can go right back to preaching, man. I'd be here all day long, man, having a good time. But it's like the instructor. He probably wasn't wore out. He's used to flying around an airplane. As soon as he got you out the door, he probably got another guy in there with him and took off and went and done the same thing again. Sometimes you just got to, you can put so much, you got to receive it, retain it, pray about it. And as I started to say earlier, sometimes we have to deny this man. This is why I said, you know, I want to go for a drive. I want to go to the barbecue house. I want to go get a milkshake. I want this. I want that. Sometimes you say, shut up and deny it. You got to let them know who's the boss. You know, how do you do that? Well, you might say, okay, you ain't eating for 3 days. If you don't believe your flesh talks, take food away from them for 3 days. Boy, it'll be talking to you, son. You don't believe your nose works? Let me tell you, you go on a 3-day fast and you could smell a French fry at McDonald's in Thomasville 11 miles away. Huh? You ever remember the old commercials back? I don't know if it's 20 years ago, 30 years ago, but they had a Mac attack. If you ain't never had one, go on a 7-day fast. You may not have eaten a Big Mac for 2 years, but all of a sudden you're having a Mac attack, huh? And you say, shut up, flesh. Shut up, man. You're not eating today. You're taking authority over it. You ever do that? We have to do those things. You say, shut up. You as a man want to be right. Sometimes you need to do what the Bible said, study to be quiet. And you want to prove yourself right? It's just macho. It's just masculinity. It's superiority. Sometimes you just got to say, bow your head and suffer the wrong. You don't have to be right. Jesus was right, but he didn't defend himself all the time. He went to the slaughter silently, the Bible says. They slaughtered him. He was silent. He didn't go in there and say, you know, I'm God. He did speak that to some of them. But let me tell you something. He went silently. And we go to the slaughterhouse silently. We're killed all the day long, the Bible says. I said something about, have you ever seen a mother murder their child? And then I went right into the thoughts of adultery. And I said, you all say the woman caught in the act and they stone. What I was trying to say is what Jesus said. You're looking for the act of adultery, but he said when a man lusts after another woman, that he done committed adultery. The Bible said no adulterer will inherit the kingdom of God. And I'll say this again. I say it often in this church. There will be women and men in hell for adultery that were virgins. Now, that's impossible to you, but it's not to God. Because he said the man that look upon the woman has committed the act of adultery. And this man may be a virgin, never had a relationship with a woman. See, we're talking about another dimension. Now, when I say a mother murdering her child, you might see the mother holding the child in her arms, caressing the child, loving it. And I say, no, I see the blood of the child on the mother's hands. Because the mother's teaching the child to lie. Mama's when you answer the phone and daddy's sitting across the room in the living room and you say, oh, he's not here right now. Daddy said, I don't want to talk to nobody. Mama lies for him. Come on now. Oh, he's not home right now. You just taught your children to lie. You can have their blood on their hands. The Bible said all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. You say, well, you just bring it down a little bit too tight, brother. Well, let me ask you this question in closing thoughts. How tight do you want it when you're standing before the King of Kings and you're being weighed out in the balance to see if you're going to make it in or not? Amen. How tight do you want it? You know, you should have a fear of God and work out, as it said here, your own salvation with fear and trembling. Where's the fear and trembling? If he took and cast his own elect children, the Hebrew children that came out of Egypt out into for their murmuring and plaining and opened up the earth and swallowed them up and killed his own elect. And then when you read in the scriptures and you talk about the Son of Man hanging on the cross at Calvary. Now get this picture. It ain't like the Catholic Church has it. Little Jesus up there with his little loincloth on and a little drop of blood, the thorns on his head, and a little drop of blood trickling down on his head, little drop of blood coming out of his hands, a little nail drove through his feet. It wasn't that way, brethren. They took and plowed his back, according to the Bible, like a field. Amen. The cat of nine tails, when they whipped him with that, it went around his body with lead and glass, and they ripped that thing back, and it ripped him to open. He was bleeding from head to toe. The thorns, I was in Israel and saw what these thorns looked like. They're about this long, about two and a half inches long on them thorn trees, and they wrapped that thing around and made a crown. And let me tell you, they didn't place it on his head. They jammed it over his head and ripped the flesh and the all the way down to the bone and ripped his head open. And when they jabbed him with that spear, it wasn't a pretty sight. You understand what I'm saying? They rend him into pieces. The Bible said he was beyond recognition. It wasn't the pretty boy they had hanging on the cross like the wretched Catholics are doing. It was an absolute blood massacre mess. Amen. He was tore up. And the Bible says this, he said, if this is what I do to my only begotten son, how much more am I going to do to the ungodly and the sinner? And you sit around and mock God. You sit around and live the way you want to live. You don't get in his word. You don't pray and you don't fast. And you think that you're just going to walk into his kingdom. Let's get right with God. Let's serve God. Let's fall in love with Jesus. Let's give our life, like he says, as a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. Mortify your mind. Kill out your wants. Kill out your desires and follow God. Amen. Let's give him one more hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You, by the way, of the internet, if you're looking for some oil and wine, come back Wednesday night. Amen. We love you. God bless you. Let's sing a song.
Will you be a million years from now?
Fall in love with Jesus. The altars are open this morning.
Happy.
Can you feel the Holy Ghost this morning? Can you feel the Spirit of God? Amen. Fall in love with Jesus. Let him be your Lord. Let him be your God. Amen. Ask him for more. Tell him you want more of him. You want to understand him a greater way. You want to grow in his grace and knowledge. You want your eyes to become open in a greater way. You know, some are 30-fold, some are 60, some are 100. What are you today? Are you 30-fold? You happy with that? Well, the Bible said when we have the Holy Ghost, we have an unction. We have a thirst. We have a drawing for more of God. We got to press into the kingdom. Amen. You that are listening, if you have any questions, write me. There's a place there on the webpage that you could write and ask questions. I'll answer them. Do the best that I can by the help of the Lord. Amen. We love you. We don't want to hurt people. We don't want to offend people. We want to bring people to the Word. And to bring them to an accountability of God's Word. We got to get out of this Laodicean church age. The Bible teaches us that this last age is a Laodicean age. You know what the translation of Laodicean is? It's people's rights. You're a Negro, you say, I got my rights. You're a white man, you say, I got my rights. You're an Indian, I got my rights. You're a faggot, I got my rights. You're a lesbian, I got my rights. No, you ain't got no rights. You're lost on your way to hell. The only thing that you got is a sovereignty that you just need to submit to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And if you're a pervert and you think you got salvation, you're wrong. If you're a drunk and you think you're saved, you're wrong. My Bible said that no drunkard is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Or no drunkards and no liars. Amen? We need to get born again. We're a new creature. We put the old things away. Amen. We got all authority, all power over tobacco. We got authority and power over alcohol. We got authority and power over drugs. We got authority and power over prescription drugs. Are you with me? Some of these people are so hooked up on prescription drugs, they don't even need them, but they like them. And they keep on taking them. And they need to get delivered. My God is a delivering God. My God gives us the authority over that. If you're a pervert, if you're a sodomite, You got power and authority over that stuff. Put the perversion down. If you're a whoremonger, you got authority over that in the name of Jesus Christ. He did not save you in your sin. The Bible doesn't teach that. He saves you out of your sin. He said, come out of the world. Be a separate people. Amen. Come out of the unclean thing. We are not the children of this world. We're the children of God. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're dwelling in heavenly places. We're sent and condescend down to men of a less estate. Amen. Because we're the ambassadors of the kingdom. Amen. We're not of this world. Don't get comfortable in this world. Don't let this world be your home. Get real with Jesus. You're here for a breath. You're here for a vapor. You're here for a moment. Serve God. Amen. The altars are open. One more final moment. We're going to close. Keep the Lambert family as they're gone this morning preaching in Humboldt, Tennessee. I'll be traveling back, I believe, tomorrow. Pray for him. Oh, I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone. Hallelujah.
Wash my
Are you realize that you have a need for someone? For Jesus, amen. You have a need for Him. Hallelujah. Can you feel His wonderful Spirit? You need to feel that moving, just like a mother when she's carrying a child. You ought to be able to feel that child moving in the womb. And when you say, I'm a son of God, I'm a child of God, I'm born again, you should have that Spirit moving in you. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you feel the Holy Ghost? Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Have y'all been drinking what I've been drinking this morning? Did you get your buzz back there? Say, I don't sound right, Brother Rob. Well, let me tell you something, boy. When you drink of what I'm drinking, then you'll understand what a buzz is. Amen. Hallelujah. They appeared to be drunk, brother.
I lift my hands up.
We love you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Up unto thy name, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy.
Are you part of the kingdom? Are you born again? Hallelujah, all hearts clear, everybody got peace. Well, Brother Joel, what was your friend's name again? Patrick. Brother Patrick, thank you for coming. Amen. Come back and see me. I don't know, the guy right behind you, first time he came to this church, he went out the door, he said, I ain't never going back to that place. I can't run him off now, he's still coming. It's been many years ago, I'm Brother Ed. You love me, brother? Oh, yeah. Brother Ed's a dear brother, amen. Dear friend. A very important part of this work of God. Amen. But he left the first service. I ain't never coming back here. But something dealt with him. Something moved in his spirit. Said, you know what? Am I saying this to this brother Patrick? Saying, well, you need to come back. No, he's got to follow the leading of the Lord. But you know, Brother Ed made a decision. Man, I ain't going back to that place. That preacher crazy. You know, but something the Lord said, no, that's where I want you at. He'll teach you how to die. Yeah. He'll teach you how to get out of the way. Yes. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
Why don't we get Brother Ed to come up and dismiss us this morning. I love y'all and appreciate you. Continue to remember Brother Wayne and his wife, Sister Wanda. Spoke with them last week and they said they're longing to get back into church with us and hold them up in prayer. They need prayer. Amen. Remember, God is a healer. Amen. God's still delivering. God's still... You say, well, if he's a healer, then why is this one sick? And I said, well, when Jesus went into Nazareth, are you contesting that he wasn't God? Now, Jesus is God, Emmanuel, God with us. He went into Nazareth, and there were some not healed there. Why? Because they looked at him and said, that's just carpenter's son. I know who your daddy is. It's Joseph. No, they didn't know his daddy.
Right.
Amen. They didn't know his daddy. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know my father? And you say, amen. Oh, I know Brother Howard many years. I said, no. I said, how many of you know my father?
Yes,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. My father who art in heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Thy kingdom come. How many know my father? Amen. Y'all love the Lord. Amen. Brother Ed, come on. Let's give Jesus one more hand as Brother Ed comes. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.